All right, I got Dane Johnson on the show today. He's a board-certified functional nutritionist, and he's the CEO and founder of Crohn's Colitis Lifestyle. Dane, welcome to the show, brother.
Joel, thanks for having me. Thanks for everyone who's here. Let's make some massive changes today. Let's learn. Let's grow as a team. IBD is not the end. Inflammatory bowel disease, even IBS, is not the end. There's so much we can do, and let's make it a life-changing conversation. Thanks for having me.
Dude, I'm excited to jump into things with you. I know your backstory a little bit, but yeah. You were this, you know, model from what I understand, which is like the epitome of health. You've got a six pack, you're ripped, but then something happened. Yeah. So talk about just your background and how you got so interested in ulcerative colitis and Crohn's and what led you to this.
Well, you know, I was going against the grain was not my idea. And I think a lot of schools and a few little small movies, I was a terrible actor and did some modeling and stuff like that around the world. But while that happened, I got diagnosed with an incurable disease called ulcerative colitis. So I'm sitting here, I'm 22, 23 years old, and I had my first symptoms at 19, but you know, I wasn't trying to tell everyone I was seeing blood in my stool at 19 years old. I mean, I'm out in college with my buddies drinking a beer, eating prostate and see blood and go, I don't know if I had beets, whatever, maybe it'll go away on its own. So I didn't do much about it for a lot of years until it got so bad that I was going 10, 12 bowel movements a day, blood, cramping pain, urgency, cystic acne, brain fog, losing my vision, all these things that I finally went to the doctors, 22, 23 years old, and they said, you have ulcerative colitis, you're going to have it for the rest of your life. There's nothing you can do about it. Diet doesn't matter. And I'd never heard of it. And Joel, I was the kind of guy, I mean, how many out there can relate? I was just a guy just trying to live my life. I was a young kid raised where I didn't know anything about food. I didn't know anything about functional medicine. And I just wanted to live just like my buddies were living, just like my friends were living, just like everyone else in society was living. And that's where that really the start of the worst thing that ever happened to me. But then it turned into the best thing that ever happened to me, which we'll talk about later. So yeah. I got, and when I say I had ulcerative colitis, I was then diagnosed Crohn's, and then people like UCLA, Cedars-Sinai, or Mayo Clinic, or different hospitals were indeterminate. Is it ulcerative colitis with gastritis? Is it Crohn's disease? And that's where it started to give me an understanding that maybe they didn't know everything about it, meaning the diagnosis itself was hard. They just knew I had chronic inflammation throughout my bowels. And where did it come from? Because Joel, when I was 15, I was fine. I could eat pizza. I could have fries. I could have a Coca-Cola. I never worried about a bathroom. No one in my family had been sick. No one had IBD. And all of a sudden, I'm sick as can be. And so that suffering led me down to a revolution of what is normal, what is food, okay, and what is happiness. Like, what is it to be happy? What is it to have a good time? What is it, our relationship with the earth, the food, each other, celebrations? I had to reestablish my whole reality. It was like a matrix, like a whole reality of what was good. And that was very difficult. It put me in places where trying to be gluten-free felt impossible. Trying to eat, you know, like not eat fast food or not eat processed food and have to cook all my meals seemed impossible. Taking supplements seemed impossible. I didn't know what I was doing. I was spending thousands of dollars and didn't understand it. I was spending thousands of dollars in ND on naturopath doctors who kept telling me what I couldn't do. So everything was fear-based. Everything was anger. Everything was resentful. I was resentful at my parents because they couldn't fix me. I was resentful at God because how could he do this to me? Yeah. At 23 years old, and I was resentful at the doctors because you're the ones who are the geniuses who are supposed to figure this out. I did nothing to deserve this. And so that led down a whole long rabbit hole. And I know I want to give so much to you guys listening, but at the end of the day, I tried diets. I did many different supplements. I did fasting and bone broths. And I even started going back to school for natural medicine once I really felt connected with it. And, you know, it just kind of kept getting worse and worse. And I kept failing and failing. And about $30,000 later, 3-4 years later, I was 122 pounds, stuck in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk, couldn't eat. I was on a feeding tube for a little while it was so bad. I was on 200 milligrams of infused prednisone at its worst when I was stuck in a hospital for about 4 or 5 weeks straight. That's where I lost the ability to walk. I didn't leave a bed for about 4 or 5 weeks. And I was on 4 antibiotics, 200 milligrams of prednisone, 3 grams of Dilaudid. If you know what how strong that is, it's 7 times stronger than morphine, and 3 grams is the maximum dose they can give you in a hospital. So you're flying high as a kite. And I was on that every day. I hit a button and I'm flying. Okay, legal heroin. So Dilaudid, antibiotics, prednisone, and then Ambien, and then painkillers when I started getting off the Dilaudid. Immunomodulator, methotrexate, and Entyvio as a biologic. And I just turned 27 in the hospital, nearly died December 10th, 2014, I believe is the date. My whole family flew in. They took time taking care of me. No one knew why I was getting so sick. So from me at 22, a Boy Scout with a dream that, hey, maybe I'll go to LA and do all these things, to 27, it's just kind of got worse like this and worse and worse and this, and then until I almost finally passed away in that hospital. And that suffering, that anger, that pain, feeling like I let everybody down in my life, from, you know, that girlfriend I was dating at the time, to my mother, to my dad and my friends, and just even my own life and the dreams I had for myself, being a big thinker, it was the worst pain I wouldn't wish on anybody. And it, when you go through that suffering, what I am grateful for is it changed my relationship with myself, with the earth, with people, and my sense of normal. And it's why I'm here today, is, and that's the defining thing I want to say to everyone. The big point of this conversation is, I've been through it. I know what you're going through. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to spend thousands of dollars and not get results. I know what it's like to not be able to eat any kind of food. I know what it's like to feel like nothing can make you better, even when you try and you spend all of your money and try all this functional medicine. I know what it's like to suffer. And I also know what it's like to crawl your way out of that freaking hole and get your life back. And I've been surgery. I never got a surgery. I haven't taken a drug. I was on all those drugs. I haven't taken a drug since 2015, and I have no symptoms. And it's 2024. And that's why I'm here, man.
Let's go.
And that's not easy, guys. I didn't find them. I call it MPS syndrome. I didn't get the magic protocol syndrome. It's not magic. It's hard work. It's refinement. It's coming back and resetting. It's having a team. It's having a community. And it's dedication to the way you're going to live, and you're turning pain into purpose. We can heal.
So good. So good. I wanted to ask you, what was the self-talk that was going through your mind at, mm-hmm. I mean, you tried, Dane, multiple times to heal yourself.
Yes.
And now here you are, December 14th, 2014, you're pretty much on your deathbed, and you're a yes. young kid. And I don't say that to be demeaning,
yeah.
but I know at 27, my mindset was just a lot different than it is at 41. I had a lot more wisdom. I had a lot more experiences. And I could rely on those experiences from the past to draw on my present and say, Joel, you're going to get through this. But from what I'm getting from you, man, you were just getting your teeth kicked in multiple yeah. from like 10, a decade. So what was the self-talk that said, no, I'm going to come out of this?
It wasn't at first. And everyone who can relate with that, it wasn't. It was depression and anger and mom, go fix it. Dad, fix it. Write a check. You know, when you're a kid and you seem depressed and so, and you're falling, you almost like let yourself fall, and then your parents frantically try to pick everything up for you. That's what it was. And yeah. I see it every day with parents. If you're a parent listening right now, completely understand. I was not emotionally, spiritually capable of being that kind of man. Now, I want to say this as an answer to that story. I've seen 18-year-old men and 40-year-old boys. You have to decide. Wisdom doesn't come from age. It comes from experience. Getting your teeth kicked in will make you grow up. You're either going to fall or you're going to rise. I was in a hole. I was backed into a corner and my life was looking over. If I had told the whole world, I'm going on disability, I'm getting my full colon removed, stoma bag, I'm going to be on Remicade or Entyvio and Fleximab or Stola for the rest of my life, the whole world would have said, Dane, we get it. You're a victim. It's okay. We get it. All this terrible thing happened. I was saying this to my best friend the other day. I've known him since I was 4 years old. I said, if I had told you that I'm getting everything and I'm just waving the white flag, your story would have been, I'm entitled to that, that I was a victim and this disease happened to me. It's not my fault. Poor Dane. The whole world would have accepted it. I'm not accepting that. No freaking way. And that's what it was. I looked at this. I looked in the mirror. I knew where I wanted to go. I was excited about life. I had a lot of dreams. I refuse to be a victim. So when, after enough suffering of getting pummeled at 23 years old, 24 years old, 25, 27, really bad, I checked myself out of that hospital and I had already made up my mind. I couldn't walk and I already knew. I was going to heal myself. I was going to be the CEO of my health. It was not going to be easy, but I was going to dedicate every day to it. Money didn't matter. Social life didn't matter. And there was years of getting there. So the prior years of teeth kicked in, Joel, was actually training. I was already starting to reconfigure myself at 23, 24. I mean, you suffer for a month, you're going to wake up on day 31 and something might click, like a little, just a click that way, right? Yeah. It'll click that way until you eventually go, boom, let's go. And I want to let everybody know that you are not too young. It's not that you're not smart enough. It's not that you're the only person who can't heal. That's how I felt. I'd read books of people healing, being like, no one can do that. That 1% can do that. That won't work for me. And then I got more evidence that it wouldn't work for me. Hey, look, I'm doing bone broth fast or only eating pureed carrots or I'm making my own homemade yogurts and I'm only eating these three foods for 2 weeks in a row and I'm still not healed. So Dr. Google kept failing me. And these books, and my life changed the moment I realized that healing had to start in the mind. That was it. That was when my life changed. And it was about, that happened to me around 26, 27, 28, right when it got so bad. That's the beautiful thing I'm going to tell you guys right now. When life gets so bad, that's when you really start to, at a cellular level, absorb the lesson. Not hear the lesson. Not understand the lesson, absorb it. There's a difference between belief and a knowing. Belief is cellular. It is in your bones. You know it to dream. It is a conviction. It is not just an opinion. Opinions can be swayed like that with pain. Any kind of pressure, there goes your opinion. Snap. Any pressure, not belief. Faith and hard work will create belief. Those are the two ingredients. You got to start with faith. Faith is not the same as belief. You got to start with faith and you got to get up and then take massive action. Tony Robbins taught me that. The biggest things I did to change my mind, I read every day for 4 hours a day. Here's a thought. Generally speaking, 80, 90% of our thoughts are roughly the same. It's been said that 40,000 thoughts happen to the average person every single day. We have 40,000 thoughts and 80 to 90% tend to be the same on rotation. So if you have negative thoughts and you're just angry and resentful and you're a victim, it's not like you mean to be. That's just how you're responding to adversity. Because you haven't been trained to be strong and rise like a phoenix. You need more different thoughts. Well, for $3 on Amazon, you can go get Unleash the Giant Within by Tony Robbins, and he's going to read his thoughts. Let that man be your thoughts 3 hours a day. Because I'm going to tell you a little hack. You can't read a page and think negatively at the exact same time. You'll lose your place on the page. Where was I? My life sucks. Where was I? You got to let Tony in, and he's going to take over your mind. Use these words, shift your mind, take massive action now, focus on what's right, not what's wrong. And these are things I did. So when I started changing my life, it was when I first started changing my mind. I changed my words. I changed what I chose to focus on. I journaled every single day. Dr. Dane saw Dane twice a day. How you doing? Well, you F this up and you need to do better at that. And you need to do better at that. And tomorrow you're going to do this. Move ahead 3 days. You're going to do this on these 3 days. So that's another thing that helped me simplify it, Joel. Success is always simple. Okay? Everyone write this down. Success is always simplified. Failure is always hard. It's always difficult. It's always confusing. It's always uncertain. Success is simple. Look at LeBron James. He's 40 years old, throwing it back. Easy. He makes it look easy because he's great. Your goal is to make it look easy. So how can I simplify what's going on? Well, I can only eat what I cook. I can journal every day. You don't have to dunk on 10 foot to be able to journal every day. Actually, not physically hard. It's just mentally challenging, but it's 5 minutes. I can pray every day. What do I have to lose? You don't believe in God? Fine. Pray to the Kermit the Frog. I don't care, but give it up every day and put an affirmation out that what your intention was. So an example was, I did my prayer and purpose. Purpose is the purpose of my day is to be the best son, friend, and brother that I can be on this planet, and to heal myself and heal this body. And I dedicate today to that. So when I woke up, I'm distraught, I'm housebound, I can't work, my money's going down, all that. I already was conditioning my mind. What is the goal? What is the goal? So then, all right, you're going to go out and read because you're going to continue to work on these things. Well, now the things that you really love, like Joel, if I took everything away from you, what would you really focus on, man? What would really matter? Your relationship with your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters, your family, your best friends. I still had them. Ring, ring. What's up, dude? Oh my God, you're alive. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm excited about A, B, and C. How are you? I could still be good to them. I could still care, even if I couldn't walk. I could still laugh. What would you rather do? And that's where I started thinking, Dane, first of all, would you rather you get IBD or your best friend get IBD or your mother? Give it to me. That's number one. Two is, would you rather one of these people died and you could never talk to them again, or go through IBD and you could still talk to them every day? If you look at the list of how bad things can happen to you, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I still have everything I really care about that money could never buy. You see what we just did? I'm conditioning to get rid of the negativity. That is changing at a biochemical level, the signal to my cells. That is changing the nervous system from fight or flight to rest and digest. So I am changing the chemical signals in my body. I'm engaging the nervous system, which is optimizing digestion. That's optimizing oxygen flow in my body with better breathing. It's optimizing what I'm going to manifest through the law of attraction. And from there, I can now create clarity, peace, and space to take the physical action. I can be gluten-free. I can journal. I can only eat what I cook. I can get away from alcohol. I can stop needing to go to parties. I can go to bed on time. I can put away my ego and just pray. Pray for my life, pray for my health, pray for anything, and pray to a creator of some sort, even if you are the creator, whatever you want to do, but I could give it up. I could let go and find peace. I have to feel the energy of love, peace, gratitude every day if I'm going to replace the feelings of anger, resentment, and pain. You see what I'm saying? It has to come. Healing starts from within. You feel something, you need to shift the feelings. And this is what we learn a lot of times from monks. I started looking at people and I said, who are happy people internally before it's externally? And you realize that it's an internal energy. It's an emotion. It's not a new car. It's not a bigger bank account. It's not more Instagram followers. It's not more the opposite sex chasing after you. It's an internal relationship with yourself on a feeling. You have to realize that a feeling is not your identity. It's a feeling. Anger and pain and resentment is only a perspective. And when you can realize that you can change your perspective of what's going on and condition yourself to feel a certain way despite the exterior, you realize how powerful you are. You see what I just did? I have my mom. I have my best friends. I have my life. I got the sun. I can still plant and laugh and listen to Bob Marley and make my own food and thank God every day. And I chose that perspective, as we all have that power. That is where healing starts. That, when you do that, you're going to build consistency. You're going to make your plan simple. You're going to get more aha moments. You're going to learn more because you're going to attract the right people. You're going to attract the right program. You're going to attract the right community and book. And that's where it started. And a year after that, from being in a wheelchair, housebound, I was 185 pounds, no medications, 90% symptom free, with about an 80 to 90% good colonoscopy. And I haven't looked back since. And that's when I started dedicating to helping other people do it, because when you suffer, you build superpowers. Write that down. When you suffer, you build superpowers. You want to be valuable in this world? You want to be special? Well, if you suffer, you're going to already have something right there. Suffering is a superpower, and that's why I'm here. And that's what makes me different from anyone, despite how many letters they have behind their name. They've never gone through it. They've never risen above it. They've never gotten out of that cage. I can help you get out of the cage. I've done it, and I've done it for thousands.
Dude, love that. So amazing. And you're right. We know it's funny how we always try to resist suffering and we resist pain, but in reality, that's the only way we've ever learned something is by persevering and going through it. And then we learn something, we get better, we get stronger, we become wiser. And it's only through that suffering. So I love that, you know, and on top of what you said, which I think you're referring to the Leahy study, where it's like 60,000 thoughts a day, most of them are negative.
Yeah.
And the flip side of it, man, that a lot of people don't know, the second part of that study is that what they looked at is that 97% of worry, that things that we worry about, actually never even come true. And so we have 60,000 thoughts a day, but there's only like a 3% chance it might even really happen. So why worry in the first place? So really good stuff. I wanted to ask you, because you talked a lot about mindset, and I had a feeling you would, because anybody that understands healing at a high, high level, mm-hmm. that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this quote, and it kind of ties into what you're saying, which is you said you got to change your beliefs. And I heard someone say that, you know, we all have a paradigm or a belief system, right? The way we see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that goes to battle with a paradigm is a burning desire. How do you instill a burning desire in people through your coaching and program? And how long does it usually take? Can people rewire that fast?
Everyone's different and it's a personal journey. So you can rewire as fast as you can walk on hot coals. You can climb a mountain. Everyone's going to be different. If I give everyone a task to do something that's trying, that is a journey that you realize you have to go through it, you can't go around it, everyone's going to respond different to that stress. Okay, we all respond different to forms of stress and we need to be met in our personal journey. Life is a personalized situation. So how quickly can it happen? Sometimes this energy will go out. And there's some of you right now who are being so excited, so switched on, so on fire for this energy that you just want more of it. And you're ready to go right now. And there's other you that doubt and fear and wonder if it's all just foofy, woofy, salesy, got motive bullshit. Like, and there's other people who are just, it's going in one ear and out the other because they don't even want to be involved in it. They just want to relax in life. They just want peace. They don't want problems. Just give me whatever. So we all have different energies. Just like if I give everyone a shot of tequila, one person's laughing, one person's crying, one person's passed out, one person's throwing up, and one person's questioning God. It's everybody is different. So it's, you know, and one person's, you know, trying to jump on do something crazy, right? So we as humans all have different experiences, and that's why we all say you have to have a customized experience. So how do we understand universal law? That's what I call it. How energy works, how reality works under all of our own different colors. So one of those universal laws, for one thing to be true, its opposite must be true. So if you are going through that kind of pain for something, there's an opposite energy that can help you get free. And energy always becomes physical. Like every one of us will say, yes, stress makes me more sick. But what you're confirming to me is that energy turns into a physical response. You're getting more bowel movements, more pain, more cramping, more headaches, more acne. It's affecting your hormones. It might even delay your cycle as a woman. It might increase the weight. You're saying it's because of stress. But how could you say your lack of ability to practice gratitude, love, excitement, focus on the right things can't do the opposite? So when we understand the colors, that's an example of how universal law works for all of us despite our colors. There is a entanglement that we're all bound to, and great people just accept it like a wave, like surfing a wave. You can't make sense of how this phenomenon works, but you know the power is there, so you ride this phenomenon. You accept it, and you accept its power. And sometimes it messes you up, and sometimes it takes you on a joyous ride. Make sense of having control over the power. It's just creating a belief. You said it. You got to create your belief. Belief is something earned. It's not given. Like if you believe you can ride the wave and you practice that, eventually you will. If you believe that you can heal, well, how do you build belief? I didn't have belief I could heal, Joel. That's where everyone gets it wrong. You can't just listen to me right now and switch it. You have to walk in faith. The biggest thing I can give you right now is faith. Faith is not belief. They are not the same. Belief is a conviction. It's a knowingness. It's the most powerful energy humans have. If you have belief, it is the ultimate source of creation. Creation is the phenomenon that humans have over everything else. It's pure creation. We can think it and then build it. Airplanes, NASA, whatever. This Zoom, the energy. Do you realize the energy of this conversation is being held and stormed outside of time and then gone through space and time for everyone to absorb and feel this energy right now or a year from now or 10 years from now? That's crazy. Humans help create, build that. That's what creation is. So you have to decide what your goal is. Even if it, you don't know how to get there, focus on step one and two and three. As you get step one, two, and three working, you will what will appear is step four, five, and six. And then as you start working on four, five, and six, what will appear is seven, eight, nine. And seven, eight, nine might be over there, but you thought it was going to be here. Or it might be pushing you back to say, you know what, you need to go back to step three. That is life. That is marriage. That is wealth management, business. That is healing yourself of any disease. That is life. Life is a balance. It's a nourishment of energy. Okay? It is that you can't cure anything. You can't eradicate a bad day. You can't cure a bad day. You can't cure gingivitis. You can't cure the flu. You can't eradicate. You have to live in a place where there's always the risk that something can go wrong. For there to be light, there must be dark. It's a universal law. For there to be dark, there must be light. The energies can never be eradicated. So if you're going to be healthy, you have to consistently live and experience health, a being. Being is to be present with. Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. You have to be healthy before you are physically healthy. So what is that? How can you practice being like an actor? Fake it till you make it. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you keep trying to ignite that energy, it will change. So I'll give you an example, Joel, of how I actually put this into practice. When I started really getting into my rhythm, 3-4 months later, I can start walking. My first goal was able to walk to a stop sign and back into my house. Okay, I lived in Santa Monica, California. I was housebound for 10, 11 months. But the first thing I would do is I made sure that I always slept in a clean house. I made my bed because when I was sick, I was in a sweaty, nasty old sheets that never got changed. No. That's what a sick person does. When I was sick, I never got dressed. I never shaved. I would watch Netflix while I couldn't get out. I was a victim. So the first thing to do is stop being a victim. So even when I was sick, my sheets got cleaned. My bed was made every day. When I woke up, I actually got ready for the day. So in the beginning, I would put my robe on. I'd go make a mucosal healing tea. Then I'd put on Bob Marley. And then I would make... And then I would either open the curtains, Santa Monica, that's why I live in California. I pay taxes for sunshine. It's a good trade for me. Okay. And I go outside into my garden that I take care of and I start reading. That was every morning. And the first thing that's going in my head is possibilities. New possibilities. One of my favorite words. What's possible? What are we reading? And I would have that music in the background and I would underline and highlight anything that stuck with me. Like, yeah, that was good. He's right. Because I was broke. This is $5. It's $5. And then I'd go in and I'd make breakfast and I'd just be relaxed. My mind would be optimistic. So I've already given myself a dose of optimism before the day starts. No one taught me this, Joel. When I got backed into such a deep place of just death and agony and pain that my natural human creative instincts just ignited. I mean, how did we get here? We had sticks and rocks 1,000 years ago. There is an inner wisdom in you that you have to have faith in. So here's some inner wisdom that might give you an aha. If this is giving you aha in this 30 minutes that we've been on, what's possible in 3 months? Okay. What's possible in 6 months? What's possible in a lifetime? Okay. Ahas. If I only ate what I cooked, that was simple. I didn't know what to eat, Joel. Oh my God, I'm hearing everyone talk about plants and meats and everyone's yelling at each other. All I know is I can control the variables by only eating what I cook, and then I can see how I feel and journal on that and then get a intuition. Have intuition of how'd I do with that oil, how'd I do with those fats, how'd I do with that protein source, how'd I do with that fiber, how'd I do with lectins or phytic acid, oxalates, whatever. So I made it a personal, I relied on intuition more than I relied on Google or even a clinical research paper. I put intuition first. What was
you trusted yourself, Dane. You went back and you trusted your own body, which I think is amazing.
100%. Okay. There are three, and I say the word God because the word God to me is just is creation. It is what's possible. And we have the ability to create. That's what makes us divine creatures. We can sit and just create something. Look at this. Look at all the technology we're talking with right now. This is all man-made. It's amazing. We have this creative ability. So bring it back to yourself. There are three superpowers you have to refine. Okay. Number one, we just said it, your intuition. You have to really refine what you believe to be right or wrong, not always based on pure evidence and clinical research, but what you know to be true, what your gut is telling you. You have to have a refined gut instinct. Two is you've got to be able to start practicing manifestation. You've got to put positive energy out in the world to attract positive energy. You've got to let go of that negativity, speak it into existence, see it, write it, and then practice it. And you will start to see massive changes in your life. Okay? And so perspective is going to be massive. Manifestation is a massive. And then you've got to continue to use like your imagination or practice the ability to create new ideas. So I've already said that, but it is the third superpower that we have, is the ability to create whatever we want. So if I sat there, it doesn't cost me any money to have pen and paper and start writing out what are possibilities. So this is how I would practice. And whenever there was a problem, I didn't allow myself to focus on the problem. I would state the problem, and then I would make myself write three possible solutions to every problem I had. So if someone came to me and said, this is a problem, I got a problem with you, or there's a problem here, or there's a problem there, I wouldn't focus on the problem. I would immediately start focusing on solutions. You want to read about this? Read a book called Ask and It Is Given. And they're going to talk that you cannot continue to focus on negativity, even if it's not your fault. You have to let the negativity go. So I practice this with my friends. Like, Joe, this is a win-win. See, watch what I create here. I can't walk, but I can call my best friend and start problem solving for him and his relationship or his job or his work or whatever. So I would just start listening to all my friends. I just want to hear about your problems. Okay, if they want to talk about my problems, oh my God, Dane, you're almost dead. What happened? Yeah, but guess what? I've already seen a 20% reduction in blood. My bowel movements are down 30%. My energy's up. I'm starting to sleep through the night. I'm only having one or two bowel movements waking up the night. It was four. So instead of me saying, yeah, I'm still sick, I still have blood in the stool, I still have cramping, I'm still underweight, my life still sucks, I just enrolled them on awesome statistics. 30% down in bowel movements, 20% down in blood and mucus. I'm sleeping through the night better. And what are they going to say back? Dude, that's awesome. Congratulations. Great. Way to go. Did I just take pressure off that friend? Did I just allow them to be more relieved about me, not so worried sick about me? Are they going to start talking to me less like a sick person? Because what I don't want is I don't want people to look at me like a victim. I don't want to look into my mother's eyes and see a woman worried about her son dying. I want to take that pain from her. See, that's manifestation. That's creation. Okay? And I'm intuitively always thinking, what am I going to do next? And that's what I'm doing on those calls. So that's really deep, deep level healing. You can learn all you want about the perfect diet and all peptides and HBOT and stem cells and all this stuff. But that is the art of healing. That is the day-to-day shift. The energy is always moving. It's all around us right now. And it's always working with us. When you read about manifestation, you're going to realize that the energy is always responding to our vibrations. And Joel, the crazy thing is, even nowadays, I was more at peace in that house trying to heal myself than I am now trying to work my company, because I get myself wound up and I'm all working 1,000 hours and I got a million things going on. But in that house, man, I had one job, just to live and be happy and get healthy. I didn't have all these things to worry about. And so I could just, my job was to practice being at peace. And sometimes I'm a little nostalgic. Now, I don't want to be sick again. No, I'm done with that. I will not manifest being sick again. I'm done.
I like the new Dane better.
Yeah, I'm done with that. But if this is connecting with you, there's a reason it's connecting with you out there. And if you're feeling resistant to it, then explore that, because what we're just talking about is your superpower. Not what I want you to do, not what I think you should do, but what you're capable of doing. So are you holding yourself back on what you're capable of doing as a powerful divine human? And that's all it is. And I'm only trying to awaken a knowledge, an intelligence, and a superpower that lives in all of us. So it's not that I'm giving it to you. It's not that it's an awakening. Okay? And I want to prove it. One more thought, we're going to move on. Joel, if me and you sit down and we listen to a guy, we got popcorn, we're eating, we listen to this guy, and this guy's a genius. He's freaking smart. We're revved up. We're so fired up. Both of us look at each other and go, that was the smartest guy I've ever heard. How do we both know that he was a genius? The only way to know that he was a genius is because the intelligence of what he or she is communicating was already inside of us in the first place. So it was said and it unlocked the knowingness that we already know it to be true intuitively. That's how we can even recognize a genius. It's because we already know it to be a truth because it's being unlocked more so than taught. So that's that, whoa, I think he's right. Oh, wow. We already know. So that's what you're trying to do. Can you unlock the superpower of your intuition, of your ability to create? And then all of a sudden you're going to have these aha moments on what you should take and what you should do and what's going to happen next and what you need from your community and what you need in the conversation with your mother or father or yourself in the mirror and what you need in that song or that music or what you need in that moment. It's just, you're going to just sharpen it. And that's all it was. It was a million of those collectively pushing against the tide of you're going to be sick for the rest of your life, pushing a new reality, a new paradigm that I refuse to be a sick person and I'm going to create the new me. And it came through suffering.
I love it. I want to jump into just a little bit of strategy and some tactical stuff. But yeah. One last thought on that, I just want to say that I found really interesting is that when you were sick, you were accepted being sick, but the turning point for you was you made a decision. Mm-hmm. And Tony Robbins talks about decision in Latin means literally to cut off, decir, to cut off. Mm-hmm. You were cutting off. And, you know, I see a lot of people in the people that I coach or even just, and I know a lot of people that you work with, you mentioned this victim mindset. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people that live in victimization, I see them being indecisive. They live in indecision. They might even listen to this podcast and go, oh, that's a great podcast. Dane seems like he knows what he's talking about. And then they go on with their lives. Mm-hmm. And they still remain sick. But it was you committed to taking action, even if it was the wrong action. But at least you got some feedback. At least you got some intelligence. You got some intel. You got some data back. Hey, it didn't work this today. Me eating this food didn't work. Let me try something different tomorrow. And I find that so fascinating in successful people like yourself. You made a decision. You committed to taking action. You got out of your comfort zone. And guess what? Were you successful right away? No. But over time you were. And I just love that, man. And I think you're really, if anybody's listening, you got to really, really read between the lines and see that's the missing piece. If you're listening, take action.
Ask for it. If you're out there and you're kind of stuck, ask for it. Watch out. Because you're already going to get the heebie-jeebies. Ask for it. Say it out loud. Say, I want it. And life will probably throw you a curveball. And it might end up in a little suffering, but that suffering might turn into belief. Belief has to happen at a conditioning, at a cellular level. Usually life will make you suffer. We would have never done this. I would have never known this if I hadn't suffered greatly. We're too comfortable. We're too comfortable. Here's another statement you have to write down. If you're right, everyone write this down. You have to risk it going wrong in order for it to be possible to go right.
Ooh.
It cannot even possibly go right unless you risk it going wrong. I'm all in.
Let's go. Dude, talk to me. I know you had mentioned earlier, and so we know mindset is obviously a huge part of getting people better, whether they have Crohn's, colitis, any disease, really.
It's the start, any disease, yep.
Anything, yeah. Talk to me just a little bit about diet, because anytime anybody hears the word Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, they immediately think it's the AIP diet. It's carnivore that's healing it. No, it's vegan. It's keto. Yep. So how do you customize things for people? If they start to work with you, what does that look like? And how are you able to customize when everyone's saying different things?
Yeah. So first off, we in the Shield program, we see 120 IBD clients per week around the world. We've worked with thousands. I've worked with thousands myself for months at a time and customized everyone's nutrition plan. We have to understand some basics of what happened to us and how we're being trained and what the trauma did to us to understand what's happening with diet, quote unquote. Okay. Now, first, let me start here. There's a few thoughts I really want to hit home here. And Joel, we could do a whole hour on this, everyone. So I'm going to try to give you the skid bits, the big aha moments, and hopefully, you know, it might need a little bit more massaging, but I'm going to do my best here, guys, with the time we have. First of all, healthy people don't have diets. Our goal is to be healthy. Okay? Our goal is to be healthy and free. The only reason you're really doing this is because you want your freedom back. If I said why three times, it's so I can be free and safe. The problem with people with IBD is they don't feel safe. They eat something wrong. They poop their pants. They have blood in the stool. They're running to bathrooms. They're having to use, they're scared to leave the house. They're malnourished, underweight, anemic, all these problems. So the whole point of nutrition is we don't want to do it. We're being forced to do it out of fear of the disease that we're going to die. and we're never going to be normal again. So it's a fear-based decision. 99% of the times, a diet is taken out of fear, not desire. Healing is not done from a place of fear. It's done from a place of desire. See, here's my big goal with you when you come in. I want to eliminate a diet and I want to build a lifestyle. The goal of the lifestyle is it makes you happy and healthy at the same time. So let's break that down. You do a diet and a lot of times it's making you miserable. You can't eat out with your friends. You can't have that muffin you really want. You don't know what to eat when you go on vacation. Nothing's AIP friendly. You never have bread again in your life. All this crap, right? So it's making you very unhappy to try to be healthy. It's like a double negative. You're sending the wrong signal to your cells in your body because you're sending your cells to your signal that you can't be healthy without being like this. So you're telling your body actually that I'm a sick person. And it's causing food fear. Right now, I know I'm hearing you guys. You're going, oh my God, Dane's got me. You got massive food fear. Massive, okay? Especially with IBD. Because IBD is so much different than anything else. No diet can really even... we can get into why diets are failing IBD, okay? But you have... So that's the goal. I want you to write this down. My goal is to build a lifestyle that makes me happy and healthy at the same time. And really dissect that sentence, okay? Really break it down. If I go to a vegan... Like vegans are really passionate about what they do, a lot of them, right? And I really love that passion out of that demographic. I have a lot of respect for that demographic. If I go to and say, why do you choose this diet? Emotionally and energetically, they're not on a diet. This is their chosen lifestyle. They could go eat a piece of chicken if they want. They don't want to. You right. Get it? That's why the vegans are succeeding. They're doing it out of desire. You've got to build a lifestyle, okay? So here's what every person who was normal and got IBD and never asked for it and was a victim, this is what you actually want. And I'm going to tell you. You want to be able to eat whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. You just want to feel safe doing it, and you want to feel like your body is healthy while doing it, okay? So what I've done to work on the subconscious, the energetic, and the physical response is I've built something called food philosophy. Food philosophy is defined as the ability to look at any plate of food, anywhere and any time, and assess its risk for you personally in that moment of time. Joel, has there been a time when you've chosen to celebrate with alcohol or shit food when you're at a wedding or you're on vacation or you're doing something that you might not do on your day to day?
All the time.
How did you assess that risk and make that choice? I'm assuming as an adult who has confidence on what choices you make and when, and you hold yourself accountable to the choices you make. And you felt safe doing it.
And like you said, I know I'm not going to do it every day. Like I'm out with my wife. I'm going to have a couple of drinks tonight. Is it part of my regular routine? No.
And should you feel bad about it? Hell's to the no. I would never, as his coach. Yeah. I would never make him feel guilty. That's why here's the thing. Never cheat, only celebrate. We never cheat in the program. We only celebrate, okay? So if you're having a celebration meal or a celebration drink, are you accountable, trained, and do you have the experience to do so? It's the same thing being able to drive a car or shoot a gun or drink a beer in society. You have to be an adult. You have to understand the risk versus reward and make good decisions. IBD is another level of that that none of us knew in society. So we're lost to the idea that it's really just a decision. There are times like right now, I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. If you want to give me $1,000, I'll go eat a large Papa John's pizza by myself, go run 10 miles with 200 push-ups and go have a normal bowel movement. It's poison. It's terrible for me. If I keep it up, I'll pay for it. But my shield, that's why the program's called Shield, can handle that stress, can handle that shot without breaking down. Think about it. The problem with IBD or autoimmune disease is when you eat crap food, you have this nasty reaction and you have to climb back up to normal. So you're like, I'll never eat that again. That caused blood, cramping, bloating, cramping, bipolar, acne. I ate the dairy. My face blew up, right? It's all this fear. So what I might do, depending on what you are, you have to come to me and tell me what your reality is. Some people just say, I want to be biohack. I want to biohack this. I want to be the healthiest, strongest. I want to run triathlons. They don't want to talk about processed crap food. I call it shit food or poison is what I refer to it. Okay. Some other people want to test the ability to have poison and shit and realize they're okay. So I have to look at what are your goals and then let's reverse engineer. If you come to me and say, Dane, I want to be able to have a piece of pizza every once in a while and not be dead, then that's one of our goals. Let's build up your gut integrity. So let's talk about food. So we could go on tangents to the left right now. We can go on tangents to the right, like healing with food and how to get over food fear. So the food fear is you've got to fix the system. With people with IBD, and what doctors aren't communicating is people with IBD have poor digestion. We have weak microbiome diversity. We have a destroyed gut, epithelial cell lining and mucosal membrane. We have so much inflammation. We don't have bioavailability going on in our GI tract. We have no bile production, no pancreatic enzyme production. We've created sensitivities to these foods because of the overgrowth of candida, bacteria, parasites, biofilms, all sorts of freaking problems. So we're talking about trying to run clean water through a sewage. Okay. You got to fix the system. No doctor told me that. And we can deep dive on that, guys. We can deep dive. We can go way deep on all these things. So when we fix this, I promise you, your tolerance of food will get way, way better. A lot of practitioners have known this. It's just not been communicated properly. How is it I couldn't have a sip of water, Joel, when I was chronically sick? I wouldn't drink water before I left the house because water would make me have an extra bowel movement. Any water would flush it because I had a toxic colon that couldn't properly evacuate fecal matter. And so any kind of water would usually cause another 2, 3, 4 bowel movements of just sediment or blood or mucus. Nothing would even come out. I mean, what is that? Why do I have to run to the bathroom? It's, fecal matter doesn't even come out. I am blocked. I am a sewage pond. You need to be a running river. So when you fix those systems, you're going to find. That's why with people who did before they had IBD, like when I was a kid, I could eat whatever I want. That used to drive me nuts. How could I have eaten whatever I want? No problems ever. Now I can't eat anything without massive problems. So a lot of us with IBD, the trauma enrolls us in the idea that we're sick, we'll no longer be able to eat that food is toxic and dangerous for us, and it even goes into seeds are bad, grains are bad, steak is bad. Everything's being villainized in the argument of how to get safe again. And our grandparents are going, what the hell are you talking about? What is this? I've been eating all of that shit for 100 years, and all my friends have, and we never had IBD. Ah. So, what is your goal? Some people say, I want to be able to have oatmeal again. Let's make it a goal. I want to have pizza again. Let's make it a goal. I want to have perfect lab work and I want to be AIP or I want to be carnivore. Let's make it a goal. Now, let's take it over to the next angle. I know a lot of people are wondering, Dane, what is generically the best diet you see working? And if you had to generically put, what would you put me on? Okay, so now we're talking generically. I'm talking all of you at once. Realize that I customize plans for each one of you. Okay, when push comes to shove, I tend to get better results with animal-based food. Animal-based food, specifically grounded, like if you're really sick, I'm going to look at trying grounded white meats to start and then slowly work in red meat. Because a lot of people with severely messed up GI tracts, they have a problem with iron. Like if you give a person with IBD an iron tablet, they might go to the bathroom 10 extra times with 5 or 10 more bowel movements. Like a lot of people right now are going, yep, that's me. So we got to be careful of certain, we have to look at the food philosophy and assess the manner at which food is prepared. Okay. So that's the cardinal rule of food philosophy, by the way, going back a little bit, assess the risk of food. The cardinal rule is not whether a food is good or bad. It is how the food is prepared is the cardinal rule. That's what a lot of people are not getting in this fight is that if I take the perfect piece of steak and I cook it to all hell, it's going to be bad for all of us. If I take a piece of inorganic chicken, that's not really local and it's free range and they were fed corn and soy, but I cook it perfectly in a broth with the right type of seasoning and clean water. And I'm salivating before I eat it. And I'm in the parasympathetic nervous system and I take 2 digestive enzymes with it and I chew it right. I will do better with that than I did with the organic steak done improperly. So the cardinal rule is food is you want to get bioavailability. You want to get proper digestion. You want to eliminate inflammatory response from that. The manner at which food is prepared is the cardinal rule for gut health. Okay. So that's where you have to start right now. Your takeaway right now, just to give you another guys, remember, I'm giving you a lot of information really quickly. This is done over months. We're going to teach you and train you is I want you right now. If you can't squish it and you're dealing with severe IBD or gut issues, if you can't squish it, don't eat it. No seeds, no skins. Okay. If you can't squish it, don't eat it. No seeds, no skins. What would that work for? Well, that would work for a 16-month-old baby. A 16-month-old baby doesn't have optimized digestion, doesn't have optimized microbiome, doesn't have optimized gut lining. That's why we can't do a stool analysis on an 18-month-old baby, because they don't even have proper gut lining, and the zonulin doesn't mean anything. And the beneficial bacteria is all off. It's all high because it's not been normalized yet. So what do we feed kids? Mushy food that they don't need to chew. Very bioavailable. If it's fiber, it's very broken down fiber. And same thing with meats. It's very bioavailable. When in doubt, eat like a baby. Now, a caveat to that is the most, Joel, if I was to eat the most delicious carrot in the world, would it be soft and juicy? Yes or no?
I generally don't know, man. I like raw salad. I like them in my salad, but I would say I've had some really soft and mushy carrots. Yeah. And they're delicious. And dill and butter.
Yeah. Delicious. Like exactly. Like you use a fork. It just comes off. It melts in your mouth. This was like $300 carrots in some crazy restaurant in New York, right? It's like the creme of the creme. Like this is buttery. It's delicious. It's seasoned perfectly. Same with the fish, right? Just comes off the bone. The steak. Oh, go to the steakhouse. Just comes off the bone. It's juicy, it's soft, it's delicious. It doesn't need to be chewed a lot. It's the same thing as baby. How a king or queen would feed themselves if they had an unlimited budget is very similar. I'm going to have the most delicious, soft, we don't want dry and tough. Who wants to pay for dry and tough? Everyone digitally throughout space and time continuum, raise your hand. No one, right? Okay, so that's one thing I do with the subconscious. I tell people, if someone says, do you want pizza? I say, no, I don't eat that. If they really push me where they make me feel bad about myself, like I have IBD, I have to be gluten-free or any of that. If they came at me, here's how I protect myself. I don't eat that shit. I don't poison myself. I eat like a king, dude. I eat amazing food. You can keep eating your peasant food. See ya. That's if you push me. So that's, I've never had to do that, disrespect for someone, but I had to get my power back. See, I take pride in the way I eat. Most people with IBD hate the way they eat. Mm. I take pride. You can't influence me. If you're on trash food, oh, dang, this cake's so good. Have a Kit Kat bar, have this shitty In-N-Out. Nah, dude, I don't eat that poison. That's trash, bro. Bruh, that's trash, man. That's trash. You poisoning yourself. I get on them because I'm influencing them. They're not influencing me.
Get them, Dane.
Get them. I'm going to get them, right? It's like I'm influencing you. You don't influence me. The only people who I allow to influence me on my lifestyle are people who are happier or people who are healthier. If you are not one of those things, you can't influence me. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. You'd be a billionaire. If you're poisoning yourself, I'm like, dummy, right? That's just how I've protected myself to live this way. I'm not trying to be antagonistic towards people. This is how I've grounded myself to enjoy and take pride and love my new lifestyle. I eat like a king. I eat whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. I just happen to never poison myself. You want to make a bet? I'll go eat whatever you want right now because I know my body's strong enough to handle it. But I have no desire because I'm looking up. I want to be a one percenter. I want to make differences in this world. I want to feel good as I get older. I want to be hanging with my kids. I keep telling myself, my son, I'm going to take him when he's 20. Good luck, dude. I'll be 60 just rolling on him. So, you know, that's exciting to me. I don't want to just, you know, oh, I'm only young once. I'm trying to be young. Why am I living if I'm not investing in my body? So I'm not just investing in now. I'm investing forever. So you see the subconscious changes. So eliminate a diet. Build a lifestyle that makes you happy and healthy. Start to build a different relationship with food, with the earth, with your ability to manifest, create, be intuitive. Realize healing starts in the mind. That belief is something you need to condition. It's something you need to work, just like a muscle. So if you're not reading, if you're not in a community, if you're not coming on listening to podcasts like this often, you're eventually going to get poisoned and go left. And you're going to have to recalibrate. Because you already know what's left. You already know what's over there. You already know what's with the drugs, and you already know what's with the alcohol, and you already know what's with sleeping around. You already know what's with not having any values. You already know what's there. You already know. And you just need to be reminded. And yes, your feelings will overwhelm you sometimes because you're not perfect. We have to realize feelings overwhelm us, and that's life. But we reset, we come back, and we act like church for each other. We come in, we help each other see what we want and build desire and build each other up and grow. And that's why everyone, if you listen to anyone who's ever been a billionaire, has ever done big things, they're going to tell you mentorship is huge. They're going to tell you who you hang with is huge. Because this is something that also is deep, deep level success. If you can really understand what I'm saying, people who are greatly successful are not better than you and I. They don't actually have any more skill sets than you and I. They're just better at handling life adversity than us. That means that someone like Mike Tyson was scared, but he got in the ring anyways. He trained anyways. Mike Tyson was tired. He was angry. He was resentful, but he got anyways. Same with Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King, any of our leaders that we really appreciate. Gandhi. Gandhi was hungry, but he didn't eat. Your feelings don't define you, and greatness is your ability to stay true to your values and principles and take massive action despite your feelings. And that's what Tony Robbins is talking about. That's what he taught me. You've got to realize that the feeling is normal. Your anger, your resentment, your lust, your desire is normal. But that is what separates us in life. That is what separates success from failure. Is are you going to go for the bait? Are you going to continue to let your emotions dictate your actions? And if you can learn how to play that game a bit better, you're going to see a little bit more success in every part of your life. That's another unlock that changed my life. When I realized, and everyone write this down big, if you're no matter what disease, these are all life lessons for any disease. Healing my Crohn's and colitis and getting safe and free from Crohn's colitis was the exact same recipe of being the very best version of myself that I could be in this life. So if I woke up and said, I just want to be the best. I want to let my genome express the best. I want to be the best version of myself. I want to push what I can physically do with what God gave me. That reality, that daily effort is almost the exact same as I want to heal a chronic disease. Think about how he eats. Think about how he thinks. Think about what he reads or she. Think about what they do with failure, what they do with their feelings. And great people tell you this over and over again. Get around community, get around mentorship, because great people know they would fail without that anchor. We are community beings. Too many of us want success, but we're alone. You got to get around it, right? Like I'm paying all a bunch of money just to join a CEO group. Other people who are CEOs, I just want to be around CEOs because they inspire me. I don't care if I don't ever do business with them. I want to be around like-minded people. It inspires me. So if I'm inspiring you right now and your life has changed at all from this conversation, imagine what is possible when you deep dive. Imagine what's possible when you walk that foggy road, when you take the faith and you just put a little hard work on it, put a little grease on it. What do you think can happen in 2 weeks? And also, what do you have to lose? You got to risk something, okay? You got to risk something to go wrong for it to go right. And that's what, and, so, and you guys are going to hear this, and a lot of you are still going to bow out. And that's what separates people in life. It's not who you're born with. It's not that you're just great. It's how you respond in this moment that's going to separate us. It's all from like what we're given or what we're not giving. But life can be good for all of us, whether we want to climb the hill or not. I still think life can be great.
Yeah, 1,000%. Amazing stuff, dude. I know we have to wrap things up. By the way, I don't have a IBD. I just want to be around you more. I'm going to join the community. Can I do that? I mean, Jesus. You got all this energy, man. I thought I had a lot of energy, but you took it up a notch. You rocked the mic today. I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
I know you got to run. Let everybody know where they can just connect with you, find out, learn more about the program and just how they can get started and where they can follow you on social and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. First two things I want I want to give you one more piece of advice. Then I'm going to tell you about the program. Whenever you work with someone who's going to help you with IBD or any gut health issues or any chronic disease, you want to first build trust and integrity with that community. Okay. That company, that solution, you have to believe that they're moving forward in integrity. Because healing is very, it's not linear. It's not like everyone, here's your answer, like a drive-through. Like sometimes I've always said, like, we're not creating a Crohn's colitis drive-through here. Like this is real hard work. It takes real work to deal with something that's considered incurable, okay? So build integrity with who you work with. If I am starting to earn your trust and integrity, I will do everything in my power to get you massive success. And I'm gonna tell you how that works. So it's called the SHIELD program. SHIELD is the 6 pillars of health: supplements, herbs, imagination, exercise, lifestyle, and diet. These 6 pillars of health compounded together to help you create an overwhelming amount of positive energy to take your life back. Every shield is unique to each other. It can be reset and refined in infinite ways at any time. So it's a basis of how you live your life, whether you're vegan, carnivore, AIP, low FODMAP, doesn't matter, or you want to be free of the whole idea of diets. You can do it if you're younger. We have people who've been successful at young ages, but we like your parents involved, 12, 14, 16. Yes, we have a lot of experience, but parents must be involved. They must sign contracts. And it includes private coaching. So you're going to get, so that's one big thing is you, I know you need a coach. You're going to get a one-on-one coach. You're going to get lifetime access. We're going to pay for your first round of supplements, 400 supplements given to you. So if I tell you you need a probiotic, it's already paid for. Okay. You're going to get, you're going to have community trainings. You can come with me once a week. We do lives every week. We did one this morning. It was so awesome. I'm like, if we were stranded on a desert island, what 5 products we bring to help keep ourselves safe of IBD. And like 40 people said what their top 5 were. So you're like in there with 40 people with IBD all saying the top 5 things they would do if they were stranded on an island. Really cool live trainings we do. And then we have live trainings. We have a mental health coach on staff, live training. We have different doctor practitioners on staff, do live trainings on nutrition, all that. So there's a ton there. What you can do if you want to get involved and learn more about the Shield program, click the link in the show notes. Let me know you came from Joel. Joel, shout out. Thank you for having me. You know, let's give Jal a round of applause for just being here and holding space and let me rant as I did. But click that link. It's going to send you a place where you can fill out an intake form to schedule a free session. So we're going to put together a free, roughly an hour-long session with one of our IBD sports specialists. Our IBD sports specialists have IBD. They've eliminated their symptoms of IBD. They're passionate about this, and they're going to hold space and listen and talk to you about how this could work for you. We're going to put our best foot forward completely free, but you just got to fill out the intake form, make sure you're a good fit. And then we got more options from there, guys. So just check that out. The Shield program, it's CrohnsColitisLifestyle.com. Okay. CRONS, CrohnsColitisLifestyle.com, or Instagram, CrohnsColitis_lifestyle. Or me, if you want to follow me directly, at DaneJohnson1 on Instagram. You can also follow us on YouTube. And yeah, you'll find us, and we're excited to help you. We're committed to getting real results. God bless.
Let's go, Dane Johnson. Thanks for being on the show, brother. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.